Welcome to Today on Broadway for Friday, March 22nd, 2024. I'm Broadway Radio's Matt Tamanini.
I'm Tell Me on a Sunday podcast, Grace Aki, and I'm coming to you live from the opening night party of Water for Elephants, where I have had the worst connection issues of our entire lifetime. And if I weren't so darn adorable, Matt would hate me by now. But here we are talking about the opening night.
I would never hate you. But this is wild. I think it's very important that you are at this party because, Grace, I've been doing this show for 8 years talking about reviews, and these are some of the wildest spectrum of reviews, and we're going to get into that. And let's just dispense with all the formalities. Let's talk about that. Water for Elephants officially opened at the Imperial Theater tonight. It is, of course, an adaptation of the original novel and then subsequent film of the same name. The book is by one of my favorites, Rick Ellis. The music is by Pigpen Theater Company, which is a group of seven singer-songwriters. It is directed by Jessica Stone, who did Kimberly Akimbo last season, and choreographed by Jesse Robb and Shayna Carroll. The cast is led by Isabel McCalla, along with Paul Alexander Nolan, and in his Broadway debut, The Flash himself, Grant Gustin. Also in the cast are folks like Greg Edelman, Sarah Gettelfinger, Wade McCollum, and more. And Grace, these reviews are insane. Let's get into it, because the review aggregator site Did They Like It has collected 12 reviews as of recording time. Seven are positive, four are mixed, and one is negative. And there's another review that is very negative that they did not include because it's from The Observer, which is not normally one of the things that they look at. We're going to dive into all of those. But real quick, if you're not sure what this show is about, after losing what matters most, a young man jumps a moving train, unsure of where the road will take him, and finds a new home with a remarkable crew of a traveling circus and a life and love beyond his wildest dreams. Seen through the eyes of his older self, his adventure becomes a poignant reminder that if you choose the ride, life can begin again at any age. Now, Grace, I think one of the things you said to me, and I don't remember if it was on air or off, was that this show was going to be very polarizing. People were either going to love it or they were going to hate it. I'm remembering that correctly, right?
I did say that on this show that we record. I was brave enough to say it on air. I knew that this was something that people fell in love with, or they said, I think we should defund the arts. Like, it was definitely one or the other.
We got both.
And I was in, yeah, we got both, which I'm glad to be right here.
So this show is a New York Times critics pick. There was also a review that says, this is the last sentence of a review from The Observer, Rex Reed wrote, I've never hated any show more. So like when I'm talking about the disparity between the haves and the have nots in these reviews, that is how big we are going with. But let's start with that critic's pick from Jesse Green in The New York Times. His first paragraph, I mean, we've talked about the fact, Grace, that there's a lot of puppets and creativity and that stuff, but he opens his review, I think, kind of spoiling something. So I don't want to do that. I have not seen the show, so I don't know if this is actually a huge spoiler or not, but I don't want to like reveal some of the stuff that's in his first paragraph. But essentially he talks about Rosie, who is the elephant of the title, and how it's created, how she's created. So I'm going to skip that and then go from there. He says, quote, this gorgeous sequence, played out over perhaps 20 minutes, is emblematic of the many wonders awaiting audiences at the Imperial Theater, where Water for Elephants opened on Thursday. After all, Rosie is not a living creature potentially vulnerable to abuse, nor is she a CGI illusion. She is not really an illusion at all, in the sense of a trick. You can see the puppeteers operating and inhabiting her. Rather, she is a product of the human imagination, including ours in the audience. What a pleasure it is to be treated that way by a brand extension musical, a form usually characterized by craftlessness and cynicism. Indeed, at its best, Water for Elephants has more in common with the circus arts than it does with By the Books Broadway. Sure, it features an eventful story and compelling characters and rousing music by Pigpen Theater Company, a seven-man indie folk collective. But in the director Jessica Stone's stunning emotional production, it leads with movement, eye candy, and awe. He goes on to talk a little bit about the show and the production values and all of those things. But talking of the cast, he says, quote, there are really no weak links. And he goes on to kind of give praise to everybody. But he ends his review saying, quote, In building such a huge and heart-filling musical one image at a time, the creators of Water for Elephants have disproved the old circus adage behind the title, which holds that you can never deliver enough sustenance for a creature so large and thirsty. Apparently, you can. Adam Feldman of Time Out New York gave the show 4 out of 5 stars, saying, quote, "Step right up, come one, come all, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, step right up to the greatest, well, okay, not the greatest show on Broadway, but a dang fine show nonetheless." Sarah Holdren of Vulture was also positive, saying, quote, "If, like me, you're highly susceptible to sawdust and tinsel, then much of Water for Elephants will delight on the basis of spectacle alone, and that's okay." Shania Russell, reviewing the show for Entertainment Weekly, said, quote, "If nothing else, we never wonder how Jacob," which is the Grant Gustin character, "is swept away by the circus. The romance may fall short and the songs lack a certain luster, but the magic of the circus is winning." Juan A. Ramirez of Theaterly said, quote, "But Pigpen's score, period appropriate with strumming ukuleles and happy-go-lucky lyrics, creates a strong thread to tie together the production's tendency to roam. And the ensemble, by far the best arms on Broadway, provides endless visual richness. You're never supposed to look too closely at the circus, but here, there's more than enough to keep you staring." And then I will give you the little intro from Rex Reed's absolute pan in The Observer. And he throws shade at another show currently on Broadway. He says, quote, "After suffering through the new Broadway musical, The Notebook, I thought I had seen the worst of what the 2024 season would bring. I was wrong. I had not seen Water for Elephants yet. Now I have. It can't get any deadlier than this." He finishes it saying, "I survived to the end, but I've never valued any show less or hated any show more." I don't know. I don't often read Rex Reed reviews from The Observer, Grace, but this just felt like a really catty, cynical, hey, look at me, I'm being edgy and
it's
I'm
hating
on stuff. It was obnoxious. A friend of ours, a mutual friend of ours, Ashley Hufford, sent me the review and she was like, "This is going to be a long 6 weeks between now and the end of all these." It was a lot. But honestly, I haven't seen the show, so I had no idea what to expect because I've been trying to stay away from images and online reviews. And I think these reviews, despite your advice that they were going to be polarizing, I think they were better than I expected them to be. So I'm thrilled for the cast that they got that.
I agree. Obviously, you've heard me talk about this at length offline because, of course, we need to embargo ourselves until reviews are posted. But I really fell in love with this piece. I think that it's beautifully directed. I think that the company of performers, actors, dancers, movers, shakers, singers, magicians, practically circus performers. I mean, it's a stunning representation of all elements working together seamlessly from first preview to opening night. I've seen so many drastic positive changes, which I think is proof that Jessica Stone is just one of those incredible collaborators and directors that artists wish that they could work with. It's really beautiful stuff. And I'm really, really proud of the piece. Like, obviously, like I see some, you know, things that I would go, oh, I would do this maybe here or whatever, but everyone does, right? And I think that this is just a beautiful little, I'm also like someone who loves to see like practical magic on stage. I love to see practical theatrical moments, and they master these. Like you're left breathless at times because you're so excited and you wonder if they can pull it off, and they do it so gorgeously. So I'm really, really proud. And I also want to shout out the fact that Michael Mendez is in a critic's pick, as is his sister Lindsay Mendez and Merrily We Roll Along. So their family, their family's doing quite well tonight.
Very cool. Very, very cool. So if you want to read all of those reviews or even more reviews, you can check out the show notes where I will have the Did They Like It roundup. All right, Grace, if that show hadn't opened, perhaps the biggest story that we would have today comes from Vanity Fair. And they had an exclusive not only interview, but a whole set of photos for the upcoming first movie of Wicked. And these pictures are gorgeous. Everybody is in costume. We've got Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo together. We've got Michelle Yeoh, Jeff Goldblum, Jonathan Bailey, as well as Marissa Bade, Ethan Slater, Bowen Yang, and Bronwyn James. Just some really, really great costumes and images. And looks like I think John M. Chu nailed that again. But the news that came out of that is the fact that there is no pre-recorded vocals in this film. The quote was talking, John M. Chu said, who's the director, said, quote, "These are live vocals. When we were shooting it, those girls," talking about Ariana and Cynthia, "were like, F the pre-records. We're going live." He told them that there was going to be a lot of wind in your air pipes. Is that okay? And then he said that they didn't miss a beat, saying, quote, "Yeah, that's what we do." Grace, we've seen this in a movie musical before with Les Mis to less than great results, but they actually cast people who can sing this time. So I honestly have no doubt that this is going to be fantastic and they're going to make it work. It makes editing a little bit more difficult, I imagine, but I think this is kind of thrilling, and who knows what it's going to end up sounding like when they get all of the tracks laid down. But I think this just adds another element of theatricality, because John M. Chu did so many practical effects for this. Like, I'm really excited about what this means for this film when it comes out this holiday season.
Yeah, let's trust the process. You know, I think that this is a moment where we're actually going to see this work. Fingers crossed that you don't come to me on December 26th and say, "You lying bitch." So who knows? But I think, can you tell that I'm enjoying this party? But yeah, no, I think that this is going to work out well for him because he's hired incredible vocalists and performers. So I hope that it's a good choice.
What did you think of the images? Was there any of the costumes that stood out specifically for you?
I don't know if I want to share that. I don't love how Bach looks, I'm not going to lie, but that's, you know, a judgment from a photograph, and that's not fair. I think that the really stringy curly wig, I don't know why that choice was made. But here we are. So,
is it a wig?
We'll see. Is it a wig? I don't know.
I don't know either. It is giving Bozo the Clown. It is giving Bozo the Clown. So, nonetheless, I think that most of these images are fantastic. All right, Grace, let's run through some show and casting news. We had a trio of off-Broadway extensions announced yesterday. The biggest one being Cola Scola's Oh Mary gets its second and final extension off-Broadway. The show is now scheduled to play the Lucille Lortel Theater through May 12th. The next one is Audible Theater's production of Dead Outlaw, the new musical from the team behind The Band's Visit. It has been extended through April 14th. It is playing at the Minetta Lane Theater. And then finally, the show we talked about earlier this week, Teeth, announced a second and final extension at Playwrights Horizons. It will now run through April 28th there. All right, Grace, our feel-good recommendation is something that warms my heart. And I know, as you put on social media, you went and saw Lempicka this week. Obviously, still in previews, you can't talk about it by any means. But they apparently renamed 48th Street Chavkin Way, because right across the street from each other, you have Hadestown at the Walter Kerr and Lempicka at the Long Acre. They did a great photo shoot where they had members of both companies come out and do these really great pictures in costume. Rachel Chavkin was there. There's also some videos. We will have all of that in the show notes. But as a devout Rachel Chavkin fan, as I think most theater lovers are at this point, this was very cool. And I don't know if this is a temporary thing or whatever, but it is very cool and an honor very, very richly deserved as far as I'm concerned.
I just want to say that, like, this is a really exciting time for women directors. Like, I think that women that are directing in this season are really coming in clutch. Their work is being well reviewed. Their work is being celebrated. And I think I don't want to jinx it, but the directing category might be overwhelmingly female this year. And I can't wait to see that.
I was just going to say not that same thing, but something similar. I was like, is it possible we have four of the best musical nominees directed or by women? Yeah. I think, I mean, obviously The Notebook is co-directed with Shelley Williams and Michael Mayer, Michael Greif.
But Shelley for The Wiz, I'm looking at.
Right, that's possible too. Like, it's Merrily. All up there. Yeah. I was thinking best musical, but you start throwing in the revivals and that makes it even more interesting when it comes to the directing category. That's a really good point. So I think this is fantastic and a really cool honor for Rachel Chavkin. All right, everybody, that's all that we have for today. Thanks for listening to Today on Broadway. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Broadway Radio. And you can follow me on Instagram at BWWMatt. Grace, where can people find you other than at the Water for Elephants party?
You can find me at It's Grace Aki.
All right, everybody. Have a wonderful Friday, a wonderful weekend. We'll be back to talk to you on Monday.